do for you?
Well, I look at the rapidly changing world we live in and the fact that these new technologies are really getting ahead of the law. And we have people who put themselves in very vulnerable situations, and they don't deserve to be treated in ways where they are, their lives are ruined, their entire reputation could be ruined, and they can put themselves into a mentally, emotionally very vulnerable place because of this sexual cyber harassment. So I see this as just a natural step where we're going as we continue to live much of our lives online.
Now, it's referenced here in the Baltimore Sun article, the 1996 Federal Communications Decency Act that protects websites from poster user submitted content. You don't think that that's adequate enough to protect?
Look, I mean, I want it to be clear for one purpose, for one major purpose, and that is to get people to realize that consideration, understanding that these things really do matter and they affect people. Once you put something out there, pornographic or intimate picture of somebody else without their consent, by the way, this is all non-consensual, it's out there forever. And that reputation could now be hurt 20 years down the road for something, for a mistake that was made, you know, today, which could have impact them, you know, 20 years down the road. And I think that we need to just get people to realize that behavior does matter in this case.
Okay, well, let me ask you this, because this is a concern that a lot of people have had, and this also goes to the issue of the cyberbullying law that we have on the books now when it comes to interpreting something like this. There's a case that's referenced in here from Florida where a person suggests that, a former lover that his computer was hacked. And the some 200 photos of a naked woman were taken without his consent and posted online. What about situations where those people might unfortunately be snangled up in your law if it becomes law?
So the answer to that is pretty simple. This is obviously you have to have a decision has to be determined of guilt beyond a reasonable doubt by a jury of 12 people, and it needs to be unanimous. And you have an opportunity to present your case in court. And look, if somebody's information is hacked, that would obviously be very important information for a jury to hear and for a judge to possibly make a decision on summary judgment.
But, Delegate, you know where I'm going with this. Right now, the Internet is almost the wide world of sport. I mean, everything in the world goes on there. And in trying to interpret intent from the Internet is extremely difficult, isn't it?
Look, I mean, we now live our lives on the Internet. Everybody is doing business on the Internet. Everybody is having their social lives on the Internet. We need to begin from a legal standpoint, but also from a community and from a broader perspective. We need to realize that the Internet is part of our life, and we need to make sure the law stays two steps ahead of the issues that are out there.
When you look, Delegate, at this particular, look, I am not minimalizing the issue of someone's life being, changed forever when you have these particular pictures posted on the Internet. But at a certain point, if you have agreed to these pictures being taken, even though I tried many times, Delegate, I won't get specific, to get these pictures taken of me, but in good taste, the person wouldn't do it. But anyway, it's a whole other story. But I'm just saying, even the professor looked at me right there. But when you have these pictures that may have been taken consensually, between adults, at what point does the person give up some amount of freedom when they've allowed for the picture to be taken with their consent?
I don't want to get into the argument because of people's poor decisions on what they do in the bedrooms or behind closed doors. The issue is non-consensual posting of this information, whether it be, for example, harassing and tormenting comments on Facebook and Twitter, which we made illegal through Grace's Law, is saving children's lives today, or whether it's saving other people in the future's lives because of demeaning or hurtful images that are out there non-consensual. I just think that there has to be a limit to people's behavior and what is reasonable, and the law needs to stay ahead of the issues there.
Now, you have a press conference scheduled tomorrow at 10:30 a.m. where you have several people going to be with you to discuss this. And you also cite here a 2006 Bureau of Justice statistic that's 850,000 people have experienced some form of online stalking. So just talk about your press conference tomorrow a little bit and why you think this is important.
So, you know, in a world where we want to try and reduce violent crime, that is our number one priority, of course. But we also have a world where we need to stop hacking. We need to stop people from stealing credit card information and cybersecurity issues. We live in a world where these kinds of issues, and this is just one that is, I think, pretty stark, needs to start to be controlled because it is getting out of hand. That statistic shows how many people have felt the impact of being either harassed or tormented online. And the next generation of this is going to be people using intimate information that they got, whether they got it consensually or not consensually, but using it without permission.
Let me ask you, Delegate, finally, I'll let you go with this, is the fact that, you know, they cite this case from Florida with this woman's former boyfriend who said his computer was hacked. Was there a case here in Maryland or something that was brought to your attention here in Maryland that caused you to draft this?
When I first drafted Grace's Law, which was the cyberbullying law, I did not have a case in mind. And only after the fact did I actually have Chris McComas come forward and tell me her story, and then received hundreds of emails from across the country of people telling me the stories of their children or they who were personally harassed and tormented and bullied over the internet. In this case, this is an issue that I've seen and heard many lawyers telling me about, people that they've had to defend or consider suing others on behalf of victims, and I knew it was an issue. And then as soon as we started to talk about it, the University of Maryland Law School, Professor Citron, who will be speaking tomorrow at the press conference, and other victims of cyber sexual harassment came forward. And I have a feeling we're going to see the same situation of people across the country saying thank you for doing something in Maryland to make Maryland a national leader in an area where we want to protect people and make them feel as if their voice is being heard.